The third rally by the group known as Groundswell, which grew out of a single farmers' protest last year in Gore, is happening today. The last one back in July was called the Howl of Protest, and that saw convoys of utes and tractors in more than 50 towns and cities across the land, protesting about, well, the so-called ute tax, water reforms, among many other things. I think a tsunami of regulations was the catch cry at the time. But that was the biggest nationwide protest of any kind for many years. So what can we expect today? Heather Carsten is the editor for King Country News, and she was at the last one in and around her region taking the temperature, and this time she'll be doing the same for her paper. Morena, Heather.
Good morning.
Okay, so you've been out and about already today, up early. Have you seen any signs of what we might expect later today?
It's probably a little bit too early to tell. Most of our lot will get together down at where I am in Tikawiti at Waititi Road about 11 o'clock. So they're all heading, rather than joining up in Otorohanga as they did last time, everybody's sort of going to be have a meet there and head to Tiamutu. So Tiamutu is going to be the central part of people coming from Cambridge, from Hamilton. We did last time, we were gobsmacked. There's no other word for it, really, at the amount of people who turned up from all over the place. I mean, we're talking 2-3 hours away to take part in the rallies that we had, because their regions, for one reason or another, didn't hold one. So that was quite amazing. So I think they figured it was probably better to do it in Tiamutu this time round than Otorohanga, which was completely gridlocked.
Yeah, we spoke about it at that time and what you saw, and it did take people, including us in the media, by surprise, the scale of it and some of the depth of feeling. Look, back then, for the Howl of Protest, it was really farmers and local organisers who were trying to get the rural community together for it. This time it's slightly different. For the mother of all protests, as this one has been labelled, they've wanted people to join in towns and cities and in even more places. Do you think there will be a different crowd, possibly a different atmosphere this time around?
Yes, I do. And unfortunately, I don't know that this is going to have the desired effect. And one of the reasons for that is I was on social media this morning, which I often do to see what people are doing. And there was queries from those who's when is the anti-vaccination, when's the freedom rally on? And this is the problem, is that we've got two distinct factions, and one of them does tend to hijack other things that are going on. And I just hope that doesn't happen here. That, you know, Groundswell New Zealand have made it very clear about what this particular protest is about, but I think it's just going to be too easy for those that have got other drums to bang to actually, you know, to do that in that framework. So is that going to work? I'm not sure, especially on top of the comments that Stuart Nash made the other day in Parliament about being, you know, nothing but a hotbed kind of thing for racism and anti-vaccine, which is not what this is about. I was actually extremely surprised at his comments, as I think anybody involved in the farming sectors was, that he just simply is so out of touch with what's going on in the rural world that he should think that. There's some concerns, I think, about, you know, we do not, or that you certainly don't want to see the angst that farmers have overshadowed by something else.
Well, that was telling, wasn't it? Because that was Stuart Nash in Parliament being asked a question by an ACT Party MP. Have you engaged with, will you engage with the organisers of the Groundswell movement? He replied that he'd been on their website and seen some racist content and some anti-vax messaging, and that he would instead be connecting and his government would be liaising with what he regarded as perhaps more legitimate voices for farming and for the sector. And so, but this is a problem, isn't it? A political party has made a point of this. We've also got the New Zealand Taxpayers Union. Looks like the website for the weekend's protest registered to them. So there is a coalition of political influences here that's not entirely a grassroots rural movement. I mean, that is going to change things, isn't it?
Well, I think so. And that's the concern that I have, because farmers do have a very real reason for this protest. I mean, if you look at some of the things that, that concern them. It started with, I think, the freshwater regulations back in 2016 or whenever it was, that, you know, the Significant Natural Assets Act, farm plans, the carbon tax, and there's a real rot there, because when you look at what's happening with the big land owners and that are selling off, and they're being sold into forestry, and of course these guys are taking all the buildings off, which drops the value of land, which means that rates for farmers, which already is really high, we're talking in the tens of thousands for many, will increase even further for these district, small district councils that can't afford that. So there's staff shortages, there's all sorts of things they've just been wanged with without, they talk about there being consultation and that kind of thing. You talk to these local farmers and they're going, what consultation? You know, it's like people in cities who don't have a farming background are making rules and regulations without consultation with those at the coalface. I think that's something that, you know, and having been involved in news media for the best part of 40 years, I don't think I've ever seen a government who is so disconnected from its rural constituents.
So in the end, do you think if there is an even bigger demonstration last time around about 50 towns and centres, this time 70, and the possibility of a little bit of disruption, there could be some conflict, a bit of tension which might arise from this. Do you think it will actually have or could have the effect of forcing government to perhaps look again at least how they do their consultation with the rural sector on these big issues?
Provided it doesn't get hijacked, and I do have real concerns about that, it would be a silly government that, you know, and I as someone, I'd be quite happy to put my hand up and say I voted Labor this time, you know, last time around, but it would be a silly government who doesn't listen to those who do feed the nation. You know, people, I think, in the city, and I'll be honest, I mean, I come from a farming background way back, but have had a lot of years in between times. I don't think they realise how difficult it is. You know, you've only got to look at your suicide stats and things like that, and farmers are very high up in that. So it's, you know, your isolation and the times that are not as easy as you think. I mean, just to look at shearing your sheep for a little while there, it costs more to shear a sheep than the cost of wool return for it. So it's not an easy industry, and yet it produces enough to feed, what, 35 million people? You know, so there's good money that we get in from overseas from it. But you've really got to take what they need into account. And when enough of them get together to say, hey, stop, you know, you've got to stop, you've got to listen, we can't do this all at once, you would think that someone, you know, that those that are making the decisions would actually listen. Because it's not just the farmers. If you listen to the regional councils, even they're saying, oh, gosh, we've got this whole raft of regulations and we don't have the staff to actually implement this, and we've only got to set them at the top. So it's kind of across the board issues, I think, that, you know, I think the whole thing really needs to be re-looked at. And I would like to think that today's rally, if provided it's not hijacked, will achieve that.
And just finally and briefly, Heather, I mean, are perhaps the people that ought to take the most notice from this the representatives of the big farming industry lobby groups? Because it's not as if this whole industry, which, as we know, is so important, particularly at these times when there's no overseas tourism industry, for example, if they're not able to effectively communicate with government to the satisfaction of farmers and rural people, they're the ones who perhaps have to act on this.
I think they are lobbying as hard and as fast as they can. But, I mean, let's face it, when you've got so many things on the go at once, it's going to water down your effectiveness to a degree. You know, when you start looking at all of those things on paper that the government is putting in front of farmers and saying, this is what you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to do this now, and that's the way it's going to be. We're going to do that within 3 years. And you've got your lobby groups there who are, you know, who are trying to act on their behalf. But when you've got so many, I'm not so sure that the effectiveness is going to be there.
Well, thanks very much for that, Heather. And I believe the events kick off around the country between 11 o'clock to about 1 p.m, a range of start times there, possibly as many as 70 towns and centres around the country. That was Heather Carsten, editor of the King Country News. And, of course, we will follow the mother of all protests as it makes news around the country later on this morning and this afternoon.